people. It is a Starship Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
The president has said he may be speaking at some point this afternoon.
Yes, and when that happens, well, he spoke already once.
He did.
Oh, boy.
The tone was about the same as his last conversation.
You think the tone's ever going to change? I don't think so.
No,
so.
I don't either.
There's this anticipation that one day he will become presidential. I don't see that happening.
This is his version of presidential. He says after 8 years, no, we weren't strong enough. Now I'm going to be strong. A lot of people disagree with the fire and fury. It seems like it's egging them on. But others would say, hey, this is a showing of strength from the United States.
Well, let's listen a little bit to what he had to say earlier. This is rather interesting.
The North Koreans said yesterday that your statement on Tuesday was nonsense. That's the word that they used. Do you have any response to that?
Well, I don't think they mean that. And I think it's the first time they've heard it like they heard it. And frankly, the people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. They've been doing this to our country for a long time, for many years. And it's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough. And we're backed by 100% by our military. We're backed by everybody. And we're backed by many other leaders. And I noticed that many senators and others today came out very much in favor of what I said. But if anything, that statement may not be tough enough.
What would be tougher than fire and fury?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
Good question. How does it get tougher than fire and fury like the world has never seen before? When if we think back to history, we've seen a lot before.
So are there any mixed messages here, Your Highness?
Some mixed messages coming out of your administration on North Korea. Secretary Tillerson seemed to advocate for diplomacy. Secretary Mattis seemed to advocate for more.
There are no mixed messages. There are no mixed messages. I heard, General Mattis may have taken it a step beyond what I said. There are no mixed messages. And Rex was just, stating the view. Here's the view. I said it yesterday. I don't have to say it again. And I'll tell you this. It may be tougher than I said it, not less. It may very well be tougher than I said it. Okay? How about one more?
Deep breaths.
All right. Well, all right. So he does. He does finesse his response a little bit here by adding to. He's decided. I have another warning. What can I say now?
The people of this country should be very comfortable. And I will tell you this, if North Korea does anything in terms of even thinking about attack of anybody that we love or we represent or our allies or us, they can be very, very nervous. I'll tell you what, and they should be very nervous because things will happen to them like they never thought possible. Okay?
That's kind of why I'm afraid it's going to happen tonight.
Things that you didn't think possible.
Things that I didn't think possible are going to happen.
Could be positive.
Don't worry about that.
And maybe it'll be good stuff.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't think so. Have you seen the team?
We
got a guy with a paperclip. You know, sometimes it's a knee, it's an ankle, it's a shoulder. This kid's got a paperclip.
What does that mean? How do you get a
paperclip? Hurt himself with a paperclip.
Oh. Ouch. Painful.
All right. So that's the president of the United States explaining what he's going to do to Korea. Now, The problem here, again, this is, to me, I know, call me crazy, but to me, there isn't a real upside to this war of rhetoric in public on behalf of the United States of America. You know, Kim Jong-un, he says ridiculous things and people go, oh, he's an idiot. They said it about his father, too. They said it about his grandfather. Same thing.
Except they didn't have this capability then.
Correct, but they did have the capability of destroying Seoul.
Sure.
They did have that. And nobody believes that they are going to have the capability of being able to successfully create world annihilation. The United States can, right?
Yeah.
And so when you have, it's all of a sudden, you know, you're standing there and you've got a gun, mm-hmm. and the other guy has a water gun with acid in it, let's say. It's gonna hurt, it's gonna cause all kinds of trouble, but he's never gonna win that fight. right? That's kind of what, this is a weird analogy, wasn't it? I just came out with that.
Because a water gun can't really kill anybody, and he does have weapons that could kill somebody.
No, but I'm saying he could cause a lot of damage here.
Sure.
That's why I put the acid in the water gun. I don't know. Okay. It was a weird analogy. But
all right.
But the thing is that it will end for him. But when it ends for him, because he's a tiny little country stuck between two economic giants, right? You've got China, which is, you know, competes with us for the largest economy in the world. And you got North Korea, which is an outsized economy for the number of people for the 50 million people living in South Korea, I should say, South Korea. In South Korea, there's 50 million people living in it, and the industrialization per capita there is gigantic. I mean, you see, how many Korean products do we buy in the United States? More than we do Japanese products now.
That's interesting.
And so, and he's also got Japan near him. But if you take out the capability of South Korea and Japan to produce, that will put an incredible lag on the world economy that will take, it would be a lag the likes of which the world has never seen before, if I could just paraphrase the president.
I don't even want to think about that stuff. You got to hope that he's not suicidal and that he's, in his mind, he's trying to protect his regime. He believes he should be allowed, North Korea, Kim Jong-un believes he should be allowed to have nuclear weapons. The world community disagrees with that because of who he is and the status of his regime. But it's gotten to this point of heightened tensions that gives me anxiety. Gives me anxiety when I hear this stuff.
Well, the president said something there. That was very interesting, too. These other people haven't been tough enough. You know, it's time for me to be tough and stand up. I'd rather have a smart and capable president than a guy who says he wants to be tough. Because tough is not going to win this.
There's a lot of subtlety in diplomacy, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, rhetorically tough doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, being rhetorically tough is probably the most dangerous thing he can do, because he could say something that makes this guy go, all right, I'm going to have to go here. Because and maybe he would go anyway. But if he goes, we don't want to be seen as the ones provoking him into action.
No.
The United States shouldn't do that. And this president will not go down in history well if it is a reaction to a verbal taunt. It just isn't. It just doesn't work like that. The president doesn't have to do it. We all get it. You're the president of the United States. You won. You're the most important man on the planet Earth. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. Always wanted to be that. You are now. So let's start to act like we have been there before. Because you have been there for 201 days. So let's just do it that way.
The North Korean regime response was Trump's warnings of fire and fury are nonsense. He's bereft of reason. They seem to be taunting him even more.
Right. And they're bereft of reason. And that it doesn't matter. I mean, they make them make every noise that they want to. The thing is, what are we doing to stop their program? Mm-hmm. And if the only way to stop their program is to annihilate them, then we have a bigger problem. We have to find another way to stop them. And starving them out may be the only way to do it. And China's going to have to do it because China's the one. So really, this is about that. So we'll go from there.
I'm feeling all too right. Cozy at the moment.
Well, you know what? Mike Rogers will answer all these questions. He's coming up.
Great.
He was formerly the FBI Select Intelligence Committee when he was in the House. He ran that. You've seen the promos for his TV show. He's got a show called Declassified on CNN, where he talks about, you know, he basically was the guy that every one of those 16 intelligence agencies reported to.
It looks great when I see the promo. I'm going to start watching it.
All right. It is.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's very good at what he does. All right. But he'll talk to us coming up in just a few minutes. But first, Violetta Podomatic standing by. She's got the WGN Turf Trouble Spots.
Bro, when you did that high-pitched voice thing,
yeah,
I was just thinking, watching the Bears game with you tonight would not be fun. Because I bet that's going to come out. Oh my gosh, what are they doing? I think it'd be stressful. That's all.
Is his leg supposed to be pointed in that direction?
Oh my God.
See, oh, don't say that.
See, that's the thing. Do you remember? I know. I just want to go back to that Rex Grossman injury that we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, right? That was in the preseason. I did not realize that.
2005 preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that thing where they show it on TV, and then the guy in the replay booth sees it, or the replay truck sees it, and then somebody along the line, the producer sees it before they put it on, and they go, yeah, go ahead and put it on. His ankle.
Oh,
see, like, have you ever seen the bottom of your foot?
No.
And then the host is like, yeah, we're not going to replay that again.
Was it as bad as the Carrie Wood injury? Remember he showed us pictures from his injury? I don't remember it so much, but the remember Carrie Wood shared his injury with us, and then he showed us the pictures of it, and it was like pretty.
Yeah, well, his foot went the other way.
It wasn't as bad as Joe Theismann's, though. That may be the all-timer.
Oh, I don't want to see any of this.
His leg was like a folding chair.
Yeah. Oh, God.
In all the wrong directions.
Yeah, I know. But Rex Grossman's was like that, too, where you could see the bottom of his foot, right? Yeah. His foot was like, you know.
That's not supposed to happen.
No!
Oh.
Anna, that's the point!
I don't want to see it. I'm just getting an image in my mind, and it just, oh, gosh.
And then they spent all this time and energy getting this Trubisky guy, and they're going to put him in for an entire second half of this game, and this guy is going to be going against scrubs from Denver who want to make a name for themselves because they're either going to get cut, they either have to make the cut, or they're going to, if they do get cut, they want to try out for another team. And you know, they're out. There's so many stupid things that happen in these preseason games. And they should have carried a fourth can of tomatoes, as they say, to just be there so they don't risk any of these people. Because Glennon isn't the future. I'm sorry. Someone has to tell him that.
I'm excited about him, though. I don't know. Leadership.
You're excited about him.
Something to prove. I think he'll be good. So I know I'm on an island on this show.
He hasn't completed a pass since 2015.
He's going to do well. And then Trubisky will come up and be a star in the future. That's how it's going to go, Ro.
I really like the way you're thinking, Adam.
Yeah, see? Thanks, Coach Fox.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. You hit him low. You hit him high. Run to the left. Run to the right.
However, I think if you put Kevin Powell in tonight, I'm not sure that will go well. So that would be my only warning.
Kev, I want to say one thing, though, before we put you in. I came up with an idea.
Yeah.
The forward pass.
Coach, that's been around for about 80 or 90 years, I believe.
What?
The forward pass, yeah.
Let me do. But we weren't doing it right because we kept throwing it to the other guys.
Right.
I told my team this year, this time, where we can just throw it to our own guys. Something totally new.
It's a groundbreaking concept, Coach.
Thanks very much, Kev. I like the way you're thinking, too.
Keep that one under wraps. You don't want other teams around the league stealing your ideas.
Yeah.
Judy Pylak's News, standing by 2 minutes away. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling is joining us right now.
It's severe weather, Tom.
Yeah, Tom. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Well, don't be frightened.
Wait a second, Tom. I need to ask a question here. Excuse me for breaking in, but is this going to get in the way of the football game?
Well,
should we forfeit?
You know, I wouldn't forfeit, Coach.
How about just a rain delay?
Well, there may be a rain delay. You know, these things ought to be clearing out of here by
Coach. There are no rain delays in football.
What?
Well, there's a new policy, Ro. Apparently, there are now.
There might be in preseason. They don't mess around. Yeah. No, they've canceled him in the past.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, cancel,
Coach.
Cancel.
Kevin, are we getting the impression that the coach doesn't want to play this game tonight?
I think that's accurate, Tom.
I
think he's just trying to avoid football in general, competitive games.
Yeah. Injuries, that kind of stuff.
I got a plan, Tom, because I got to win more games than I did last year. Otherwise, I'm going to get fired. So my plan is to play fewer games.
No. Coach, we can't fire you because we need you as part of the Rose Show.
You're damn right about that.
That's right. We get too much of enjoyment out of listening here.
Tom, once more, I just want to know, do you want to play tonight? Because I can get you in.
You know, Coach, I've got some severe weather coverage, and that's a shame because my arm was in good shape. You know, I've been practicing.
We can use you.
I've been tossing a ball across the weather office to Bill Snyder, my producer.
And, that'll help.
Yeah.
It's good. You get a little rotation on that? Are you getting a little turn?
A little vorticity on the football.
I like the idea of that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you're not going to even get to see it tonight, it sounds like, Tom.
No,
you've had such a busy weather night.
Well, you know what? One thing, Anna, it looks like it'll pass in the next couple hours. These things, there are big gaps between these storms. There's one going into McHenry County right now. That's what Judy was talking about. There are a couple more out to the west, and we'll probably get a few more to flare. But I think when all is said and done, only about 40 or 50% of the area will probably be directly affected by a storm. But if you are, these things have produced one-inch diameter hail. In fact, there's been a report of one-inch diameter hail up in Clinton and Rock County. And let's see, we had one-inch diameter hail in Beloit. And then out in eastern Iowa, 1 3/4-inch diameter hail. And there's some trees down up in southwest Wisconsin. Power lines down, actually, up in Lafayette County. It's just north of the Stevenson County in northwest Illinois. So that's the kind of damage, but it's been scattered. And I think once this thing pulls out of here by 8, 9 o'clock tonight, we're okay. So, Coach, you know, the game will go on without interruption after that.
Oh, crap.
Most would say that's good news, you know, Tom. Yeah, not here.
You know, the coach is very much like our president. He lets you know what's on his mind.
Yeah. Sure do. Yeah. Love him.
Yeah.
No. I'm excited to watch the Bears tonight. Actually.
I know. It is kind of fun, isn't it?
You know, it's new hope, yeah. New season, new quarterback.
Absolutely.
Come no injuries.
On. I just
no
see a guy. Injuries. I don't want. All right. Now, here's another thing I'm a little worried about. Mm-hmm. See, because you get hail.
Yeah.
You get the. That could be its own issue.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
That we don't. And they do. I know in the preseason, like if there's lightning, they will call a game.
Right.
And they want, and especially now, and that's true. Remember, during a regular season game in 2013, they evacuated.
Sure.
Remember?
And then that was the day of the Washington tornado.
Yes.
Oh,
remember
right.
that?
Yes.
It devastated, and had that storm held together, it would have come up very close to Soldier Field. Fortunately, it didn't. We had debris raining down that had been carried all the way from Washington, but... That was an interesting situation.
Very, very tough situation.
Trying to figure out what to do. You already had fans there and in the parking lot. You can't call the game, you know, and nor has that ever been done. And yet, what do you do with folks if you have a severe weather risk?
So tonight, the window here, because they start at 7 o'clock, you think it'll be clear by 8?
I think 6 to 8 p.m. is the window. And, you know, the southern suburbs can see a thunderstorm until about 9 o'clock. But I think if we
is this going to brush the center part of the city, or is it going to...
You know what? Right now, Ro, if you just extrapolated what's on the radar at the moment, you know, the heaviest cells out by the Wisconsin line moving eastward. There's some lighter cells out by Rockford. But, you know, this is a dynamic situation, so these things don't just move. They pop up in places. But I think when
they're like those defenders.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they work there.
They do. I know.
And then the next thing
come out of nowhere,
there.
Don't they?
Head on a swivel.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I don't get it.
6 to 8 sounds good, though. It'll be right when Trubisky starts to play, right? They'll clear on out, and here comes Trubisky.
Well,
right.
If the other team could clear on out, too, that would be very helpful for, I think, the coach. I don't know. What
do
I know?
I only control the meteorological, row. You know, I can't do that.
No.
But maybe there's...
Tom, it's an opportunity to control the ball.
Yeah, I know. Well...
Opportunity.
I know.
I listen, you're only going to be one for one play anyway before you get creamed.
Yeah.
So let's just go.
Yeah, you won't have me out there very long, Coach.
Right.
Even if I had been able to make it out there, you know, they'd finish me off pretty fast.
You don't want to be a loser, Tom.
Yeah.
You want to be a winner. You want the glory of football. Football glory.
How are your knees, Tom? Are you good knees?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Well, they are for the moment. You know, an hour out in the field, that would be it for them, too.
Just that you take the snap and run like hell backwards.
There'd be a snap, all right, and it wouldn't be a ball. That'd be like the bones in my legs going, you know. So,
Oh, gosh.
I wonder if a team has ever just taken a knee on every single play. Because I think if I were them, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
All right, well, we'll see.
Absolutely.
Ye have little faith, I know. I'm very excited to see Mr. Trubisky. I'm scared that he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm scared that, I mean, Glennon, something tells me that Glennon won't get hurt, but Glennon's not the future.
Well, it's kind of fun to have the new season starting. I mean, you know, this opens up all kinds of
possibilities.
Football's
football.
It is.
I can watch any football game at any time, high school, college, football, you know, professional. Canadian, I even watch it during the summer.
What?
So you can see Canadian football. Mm-hmm. It starts in, you know, May, June.
You watch that?
And because there's a lot of American college football guys that didn't quite make it.
You
know, play up there. Not really.
And
are
those strange antennas on Rose Building, they're bringing in Canadian broadcast signals.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah.
Actually, they put it on. They put you can get it like because there's so many cable channels.
I'm sure
you can get it. It's like ESPN2 or something's got
right.
it. And it's you know it's football. I have no idea what's going on. And there are two teams with the same name.
Yeah,
which is really like so stupid. It's like having two things that are the Bears, right?
Yeah.
But it's
weird.
But it is what it is. But at least you know you put it on, and if it's in the background, because a Sunday, even if you're not interested in the game, and by the way, I'm interested in every game on a Sunday, if you know what I mean, because I got to make even for what happened on Saturday.
Right.
But the but like if just having it on and just knowing that it's, yeah, it's going on, it's such a great spectacle.
It
it's
is.
A great television event.
Oh,
it
I is. Love football.
And we kid the coach, but I hope he knows we're kidding him. And,
yes.
You know, because we wish.
I don't.
Well, they could be good this
coach,
year. I think so.
We wish you nothing but the best, I'll tell you. And besides that, you're a lot of fun to listen to here on Roadshow.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe you can get some water this season.
I'm not having water until we win four games.
Okay.
Which means I'm never drinking again.
No, stop it. They're going to win four games.
You know, if things get
they're
going to
win four games.
We can have
four.
Violetta parachute into the, you know, Soldier Field.
We could have Violetta
like
parachute.
Don't give her ideas, Tom.
When it's raining and thunderstorming, I don't
know. Well, no, we wouldn't want you out there.
It is. The, yeah, no, I do. That's what I would like her to do that then.
See, he's meaner than I am.
Yeah.
Violetta.
100%.
Yeah. I don't want you up there in thunderstorms. No.
I think one of the, speaking of college football games, one of the coolest games of the year, and it's generally meaningless, but the pageantry around it is so amazing. It's Army-Navy, and that's played after the college season is already done, before the bowl season starts. Mm-hmm. So all the other college teams clear the way, and on that Saturday, it's in between, it's Army-Navy, right? So it's always the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, something like that, of December.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, they hold it at neutral sites, essentially, around the, around the eastern seaboard.
Sure.
And it is, the pageantry of it is spectacular. And the football arrives by way of parachute by either a Navy or Marine or Army parachutist.
That is very cool. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's a really, really, really cool
thing. It's a nice touch. Yeah. We gotta investigate something like that here,
And I've seen that. Sometimes they'll do that. I've seen the Golden Knights do that, where they'll bring a football in, to a civilian stadium. But it's just something when you see all these guys, men and women who from the service academies who are dressed in their service, like they're out there, their parade gear is so, their formal parade gear is so amazing.
It is.
It is just, it's such a special thing.
It is.
And that's, and that's the worst football game of the year. I mean, after all that's over, you're like, go to the bar. Because there's nothing else to, the football.
The game.
You want to come out for halftime.
It's a letdown, but the lead into it is a lot of fun.
The exact opposite of going to every other football game you've ever been to.
Yeah.
You leave during the football part, and you show up during the pageantry part.
You go get snacks when they're playing, but then you want to make sure you're there for like halftime.
Exactly. And for the whole thing. Or even before, because they do where they walk in. You got the midshipmen walk in, and then you've got the cadets that walk in, and it's just unbelievable. Just gorgeous.
It is pageantry.
Yes.
Par excellence.
It's
no
very,
question
very
about it.
Very special
That's
thing.
True.
So, all right. Okay. So let's just, so we understand tonight, 6 to 8 is the prime time.
That's the window. If we're going to get it, something will happen in that time frame. After that, it turns partly cloudy. Tomorrow, a sun cloud mix. There might be a little bubble up shower, an instability shower in the afternoon. But then a gorgeous weekend coming up. And we keep the comfortable weather going to early next week.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
You did a nice job here, Tom.
Well, thank you, Ro. We've
this.
Got the big Bud Billiken parade. It'll be beautiful. A lot of us going to be out in the floats.
Is that Saturday?
This Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. So, that means it's back to school time.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, you ought to see the pageantry out here at Bradley Place. They're setting up for the morning show tomorrow. We have the kids' fair.
Yes. Do that every year, right?
Absolutely.
Years and years.
I used to go to the kids' fair every year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good for you, Violetta. Oh, it's quite a... I drove in here today, and I had forgotten that was coming up. And
Violetta was 8 and handing out her resume.
I kind of was. I found someone's producer. I'm like, hey, you know anyone who works here? He's like, yeah, get away from me, kid.
No one at WGN would say that. I don't believe
that.
He looked very busy. And I was bothering him in the parking lot.
Well, then I can understand.
There's nothing wrong about that.
I was trying to win concert tickets. You guys always have really great prizes over there.
Yeah, it's something. Well, this is we used to do this with Bozo, and now this is the new generation.
Mm-hmm. Get out of here,
Violetta's generation. Yeah, right. And it was, it's kind of a the new what Fraser Thomas used to do, and. Mm-hmm. And Bob Bell and Ray Rayner.
Those guys used to go out, though, and do things, too. There was that was one of the things about Bozo. Yeah. I know we're running short here, but that whole Bozo circus, that whole unit of folk there would go out and do all kinds of special stuff around Chicago. You know, you got to see them. It was really hard to get a ticket to get in to see it because there were like 50 people in the audience.
I know.
It seemed like there were 200.
Well, you know, the joke used to be that you almost had to anticipate conception to get the tickets in time.
So totally true.
Yeah.
But then they would go out and they would do charity events and other things. And you'd have an opportunity to see Bozo and Cookie and Wizzo.
Well, the morning show people go out and do things too, Ro. We were over in Park Ridge the other day, you know, a couple weeks ago.
But
you don't count because you're not a clown.
No,
the clowns. I mean, and I'm not a big fan of clowns, but Bozo and Cookie.
I know.
Wizzo's a little creepy, but Bozo and Cookie were awesome. Ringmaster Ned. Now, Ringmaster Ned scared me.
Really?
Yeah, no two ways around.
Why so?
He just had a way about him. He just, you know, he went on to become like a sheriff or something, right, in Arkansas?
He was very authoritative, so I could see that.
Yeah. He was, and so he was like, he was one of those guys who just didn't want to, he did not play.
Right. He was not taking it or having it, no matter what, even though he's dealing with kids.
Right.
You're like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this guy.
When Frazier Thomas took over after Ringmaster Ned, you know, retired into his next pension.
Yes.
Then that was, you know, there was a little, I felt a little bit better. Because Frazier Thomas used to read me stories and show me movies on Sunday.
I know. Softer.
Yeah.
It was really interesting when I started here. You know, the way you were introduced as a newcomer to WGN was you were on Ray's show, and then we were up at the booth at Wrigley and with Jack Brickhouse. It was a lot of fun. And remember the day we were in the at Wrigley, George Will was there, which was kind of cool. But Ray Rayner would have a back and forth with the stagehands. You know, and these guys would be sitting there reading the morning newspaper and throwing comments out to them. And it was an interesting process to watch.
By the way, the Ray Rayner show, which was the morning show.
Yeah.
Before Bozo became the whole thing got a little screwy after, you know, corporate America took over. But when it was just, you know, kind of all broadcasting out there on Bradley Place, when you had Ray Rayner in the morning, Ray Rayner was, he was your full service morning show.
He was.
He was before anybody gave a crap about local television
news. Oh, it's true. He had the weather forecast. He had the sports scores.
Yes. He had the helicopter in the sky. It was footage of a helicopter in the sky because no matter what he was showing, it was sunny and 75 degrees even in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And he had the whole thing. So everything you needed in the morning was right there. And then he would talk to a duck.
And he would, he'd talk to a duck or else converse with the stagehands about current events. You know, so like in this day and age, had the president said what he had to North Korea, that would be fully discussed.
He talked about Nixon.
I was
my age. I was like, you know,
really?
I was seven or whatever when Nixon was, when he resigned.
Right.
And I remember him like saying, hey, what? And he'd wear a jumpsuit and he'd have before there were Post-it notes.
But he was talking about serious issues in a jumpsuit?
Yeah. He would clip notes to his
all
outfit.
All over his
little suit. And then he'd pull them off and he'd look at him and go, oh. How about that Nixon last night resigning?
Oh my gosh! I got to get on YouTube.
Oh my god! It was
Ray Rayner. But you know, it was so. And then there was a duck, right? Chelveston.
Yeah,
the duck.
Chelveston. I'd see Chelveston in the hall in the cage there, and I always.
He's a real
bad.
Duck.
Yeah,
there's a real duck standing around on the. You know, like so Chelveston. What do you think about Spiro Agnew? You think he should go to jail?
Yeah.
Walking around and pooping in
you're,
a circle.
You're absolute, that's an interesting take, but you're absolutely right, Ro.
I think it's one of the reasons. I credit a few people for being in this, but that's one of them because I would watch that with just amazement. And then I would turn over to then it was like 12 or something. By the time I saw, I turned it over to the CBS Morning News with Richard Threlkeld and Leslie Stahl, of all people.
Get kind of the serious take
and
on
then
things.
You would get a serious take on it. Then
were
I go back to Ray Rayner.
Also, no?
And they didn't have a duck. Quack.
A duck.
But now they would. See, you put a duck on morning television. Yeah. You would do that. I mean, it's like, it's so ridiculous.
Oh, and I remember even in the seventh grade, I had a friend who would stop everything and go and watch Bozo at noon, you know, when he was on. And then you'd come in here to the station, there'd be a line for Phil Donahue's show in Studio 2.
Oh, my gosh.
They would seat everybody there, and then the line would build up for Bozo afterwards. And so this, boy, you know, it was nonstop through the morning.
Yeah, it was. It's such a fun place.
It was.
And those walls could talk, man.
Well, I know.
Boy, would they
have some stories. Yeah,
especially about the frozen duck. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Stay safe. We'll keep you posted, and good to talk to you guys.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow. Here is Violetta Powdermedic with the WGN Traffic Travel Spots. There you go. Tonight, it all begins.
It's the night. I'm excited.
And today, right now, I am so pleased and proud. If I knew that one day I'd be sitting here doing a talk show at WGN talking to Ed Obradovich.
No question.
I would have said, you're crazy.
No way.
That would never happen.
Me either.
And the great Ed Obradovich, OB, is with us, and he will be with us all season long right here on WGN and on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. In the afternoons, once a week, he'll be joining us to talk about the Chicago Bears as they take on the 2017 campaign. And OB, the nice part about this, too, is I just say a few things and I get out of the way and let OB react. I believe that this team... Well, I think the over-under on games won this season in Las Vegas is like 5.5, I think, for the Bears. And I am pounding the under right there. What do you think it's going to look like?
You're optimistic, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of think that they could be over by the time they take on Cleveland in what will be called the game, which is a mistake by the lake, in December.
Well... Excuse me, I hope we're not aiming for the toilet bowl in Flushing, New York this year. I can tell you this, though. We had two major problems in the year 2016. Offensively, we couldn't move the ball, therefore we couldn't score, all right? And the other problem was we couldn't stop anybody from scoring. And I am going to tell you, this is the 2017 season. We won 3 games last year. 5 the year before. We've been an embarrassment to the city. They've been an embarrassment to themselves. That's the coaching staff and the players. Now, this is the first exhibition game of this year. You have 4 games to get things right to start the season at home against Atlanta here. And what I'm hoping for is this team comes out, even though it's the first exhibition game, as pathetic as they were last year, offensively, defensively, coaching decisions. I hope that's all gone away. Would I love to see them come out and actually look like a professional football team and act like they know what the hell they're doing offensively and defensively. And what do I mean by that? Offensively, let's come out and be aggressive. Defensively, we have not been aggressive the last 3 years. We've got to become aggressive. You've got to go after people. If we sit and play the bend don't break defense with a three-man defensive line, a 3-4, we're going to get killed again. So what I'm looking for is this team to come out today in front of our home fan, even though it's the first exhibition game. I want them to come out and act like they know what they're doing on both sides of the football. And the other thing is this. Usually, they come out and they play the first team like maybe 2 sets of downs, 3 sets of downs, and a reason like why, well, we don't want to get anybody hurt. That theory better have gone by the wayside. You're going to be worried about getting somebody on this football team hurt by playing them in an exhibition game? What you better be worried about is offensively getting your timing down with the running backs of the offensive line and getting your timing down in the passing game. And defensively, get your blitzes down. Go after them. It's all about timing this game.
Yeah.
When you think you're going to go through 3-4 games, and then all of a sudden, Rowan Anna, all of a sudden the first game you're going to turn everything on, it's not going
to
happen.
All right, well, let me just ask you this. And Kevin is here to hold my hand during this because I'm beyond nervous about this. Let's just talk about quarterback position here. I agree with you completely about line play, and you still have some guys that are still fairly banged up here, right? I mean, you got Langford, who sprained his ankle in a walkthrough, OB. A walkthrough. He sprained his ankle.
One of the great mysteries.
Yes. And then you've got Kyle Long, who you absolutely need to be healthy here. I do understand being careful with him in a preseason game, but quarterbacks. I mean, you spent so much money, treasure and blood, essentially, to get these players, mm-hmm. right? Because you gave up draft picks, you gave up You gave a bunch of money to get Glennon, and then you draft a guy that you have to pay a bunch of money to. I mean, we remember what happened to Sexy Rexy back in 2005, right, in a preseason game, where his ankle went one way and his body went the other. Yep. You know, I mean, that's these kinds of things. And they don't. Why wouldn't I just at this question? You understand football maybe what much better than almost any human being. Why wouldn't they take? Why wouldn't they have another backup quarterback? Sanchez is like candy glass. He could easily get hurt just looking at a playbook. Well, I don't understand why they don't have for the preseason here guys who you know are going to play in the garbage time.
Well, not to go against anything what you're saying is that there is no garbage time for the Bears. They won three damn games last year, okay? And they better not worry about sending guys out there and worry about them getting hurt, whether it's a quarterback, a running back, a lineman, or a receiver. Those days are long gone. Get them out there and play the damn game of football. All right, this isn't touch football. This isn't I think we can do this, I think we can do that. It's all about doing. And we have Glennon, and we have Sanchez, and we have Trubisky. Glennon gets hurt, fine, put Sanchez in. He goes down, fine, put Trubisky in. That's where you put all your money.
Okay, that's the first three series of the game. Then what do they do?
Don't say that. That's not going to happen.
It'll be if you were Coach Fox, how would you space out the time and the reps for the preseason? Are you giving Trubisky the entire second half, which I think most of us are expecting to see tonight and through the first four games, or how would you handle the playing time among these three guys?
Mike Glennon, what should happen right here is Mike Glennon should start the game, first quarter, second quarter, come out and start the third quarter. Pull him after that. Put Sanchez in the third quarter. Pull Sanchez out. Put Trubisky in the fourth quarter.
You know,
that's what I would do.
OB, it's interesting because you already see drama sort of coming around this quarterback position. You see in town the sportscasters and commentators are calling it the Mitch Trubisky era. Channel 9 just had a graphic calling it Mitchapalooza tonight. And yet Glennon is your starter, and he's talking and saying the right things. This is what he's waited for his entire life. This is the start to be a starter in your career. And is it possible this guy could do great things for the Bears?
Well, Mike Glennon, listen, we all sure hope so. We all sure hope that, believe me, the coaches do a great job, and everybody does a great job. But we have so many ills from last year and the prior year, the fix. We have no time. You got a short training camp. You got 4 weeks of exhibition to get everything ready, Anna. You got to play people. So Mike Glennon, what did he sign for? 45 point some odd million for what, 4 or 5 years? Sanchez, I'm sure he's making a million plus or whatever. But I'm not quite so sure that you give up an entire draft for Mitch Trubisky. I really am not sure.
Yeah, I know. What's done is done, as we like to say, as they say in Washington and Game of Thrones. So I guess the real issue here is now that they've got him, what are they going to do? I want to ask you this, though, because we haven't talked since this happened. You know that Jay Cutler, remember him? He used to be the quarterback here in Chicago.
You betcha we gave up half of planet Earth for him.
Yep, and now he's in Miami. I just want to play something, because you're a professional football player. And you, I mean, you know, God bless, you know, you had a great career, you had a great broadcasting career, mm-hmm. Things hurt as a result of your football career, right? Anybody who played in the NFL has that, you know, that there's little nagging injuries that people never get over. It's a tough game. People got to be tough, right? As you're pointing out, you got to be tough. This is what Jay Cutler said to the Miami media today.
Well, the good thing is I play quarterback, so I don't really have to be in that great of cardiovascular shape. But I'll be fine. Adam knows kind of what I've been up to, so we'll figure it out along the way.
Whoa. Fine. He'll be fine. Fine works in football, OB, back in your day, right?
I just imagine OB's head right now. He's on the phone, but I just imagine it like turning red and about to like a cartoon. It's about to pop off his head. What is your thought on that?
Oh, God. I was kind of with him, kind of against Cutler. Mm-hmm. Very wishy-washy back and forth with him. But the one thing that I do remember, when we gave up a ton to get this guy from Denver, And our coaching staff forgot one thing, that he had a strong arm and he could throw the football. He looks like he had everything going. They forgot one thing. You're supposed to have five guys up in front block for you, okay? That was just a minor flaw we had for a few years with Cutler.
It's true. But I think he also didn't have that leadership skill. Now, Glennon, they're saying, is great in practice as a leader. Mm-hmm. He's a guy, he's calling out guys who aren't playing. I mean, he's a guy that definitely wants to be a leader. Can you have that can you have a guy who hasn't played since 2015 step into a huddle with other NFL players and become a leader? Because you can.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And since he's gotten here over the last, what, 3 months, 4 months, or whatever it's been, mm-hmm. working with the coaches, the running backs, and the receivers, and from the information that I've gathered, he is very well-liked, very well-respected, and they believe in him.
Great.
So tonight, let's see what happens.
All right, that's what we'll do.
All right.
I'm gonna go. I've rarely looked as forward to a preseason game as I look forward to tonight.
It's true. Usually really it's kind do. Of a throwaway. But,
yeah.
You know, hey.
But this
hey,
is
guys,
something.
Just let me say this again. I can't say this strong enough. They better come out, and they better be sharp. Even again, though it's the first exhibition game, what's been going on here the past few years, and they're playing in front of the home crowd, they better come out, and they better know what the hell they're doing instead of looking like a bunch of stumble bums.
There you go. I love that term, stumble bums.
I guess so. I'm going to use that.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, OB. Thank you, my
Bye-bye.
Friend.
Thanks, OB.
Right. I think I said thank you, my friend, and that's
how you say it sometimes.
It's the Chicago way. Here is Violetta Pademetic with the WGN Derby Travel Spots. Concha with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio.
Hey, Rich.
Hey. Hello.
He's got some reviewing
to do.
Got some reviewing.
I'm going to bring the reviews with the fire and the fury, the likes of which you've never heard before, WGN listeners.
That's right.
Wait, hold on. I got to see here. Hold on. I got to.
What, you got to take some out of the garbage?
I did. I threw Rich's reviews in the garbage.
Oh,
not the first time.
Which many directors have done throughout the years.
Oh, hey.
Woo.
Hey. Woo. Oh, is that all
garbage about? Picker.
Yeah. That's me.
That was his nickname when he was the first man off the bench at Latin, the basketball team.
Hey, the Mighty Romans.
Yeah.
Is that what you are?
Is that who you hired to play for you? The Mighty Romans?
Oh, look at my player up. My doppelganger's quite good.
Yes. That's exactly right. We would often ask for a trial by combat and then have a servant come and actually fight for us.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how it worked.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? Hmm. You can make fun you want
Thank
of
you.
The Latin School of Chicago, but some of the great leaders
That's
of
true.
This city, true. State, and nation have come from there.
That is true.
I would not be one of them, but there are people who have done it.
There are people.
They've been guests on this show. I was going to say.
Some of them have been. Oh, God. All right. Let us now. Hold on. Don't anybody move. We're going to do a top five at five.
Okay.
And then Richard does have some big reviewing he's going to do.
Bunch of movies.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Including that Brie Larson. We love Brie Larson.
And Jeremy Renner, too.
Jeremy Renner.
That looks good.
So
we'll see.
We'll just have to find out. Plus, isn't there a documentary in there, too?
About Ferguson called Whose Streets? And most of the footage shot by residents of Ferguson.
Oh, wow.
So talk about an on-the-ground documentary.
So it's basically cell phone video.
A lot of cell phone and video cam
wow.
footage shot by longtime residents of Ferguson.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. All right. Here we go. Are you ready for the top
Let's
five
go.
Of five?
Because I think
that's the most important moment of the day right
Any
there.
Trump?
Turns out it's all Trump.
Let's see.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I should explain before we open this thing up. It is a top five of Trump today because it is it's one of those days where the news is dominated by all of the different iterations of things happening around the world that center around him, right? It's perfect. Mm-hmm. He does make it all about himself.
Made a lot of news today, for
and,
sure.
And he has. So we'll use the top five today to take out a little trip around the world of Donald Trump.
Wow.
All right. Okay. And I guess that would be our world as well.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
All right. All right, are you ready? Here we go.
Let's go.
Checking in at
number 5.
All right, the president cautioned that any nuclear threat from North Korea will be met with fire and fury the world has never seen, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he has personally been taking a little bit of heat for that comment, saying it's too on the nose, as they would say in Hollywood.
It's a little too, I don't think people will believe it. It's a little too much.
Some have even called it bombastic. But today, the president doubled down.
The North Koreans said yesterday that you're taping on Tuesday with nonsense. That's the word that they used. Do you have any response to that?
Well, I don't think they mean that. And I think they, it's the first time they've heard it like they heard it. And frankly, the people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. They've been doing this to our country for a long time, for many years. And it's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough. And we're backed by 100% by our military. We're backed by everybody. And we're backed by many other leaders. And I noticed that many senators and others today came out very much in favor of what I said. But if anything, that statement may not be tough enough.
What would be tougher than fire and fury?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
Won't be tougher, tougher than fire and fury. That is really true. Although now Korea has issued two more statements since his press availability today, the president's press availability today, saying that this casts, they use the word doom for America.
Yeah, and yesterday they issued that attack plan for Guam, as we all recall.
So their rhetoric is increasing, just as the president's rhetoric is increasing. Now the question is, are there diplomats on both sides that are meeting about this? Or military leaders or top-to-top kind of conversations going on? Or
Back channels? Yeah, something.
That's really the question. Hmm. Do we want to go this way? And again, the problem with this, unlike the Cuban Missile Crisis that a lot of people are comparing this to, the United States is not under direct threat of a massive thermonuclear exchange. As a matter of fact, it's highly unlikely that there's any nuclear capability that could reach even the shores of Guam, let alone Hawaii, for Kim Jong-un. And I understand that this is a point at which we need to stop this. I do understand why this is happening right now. I think most people do. And I don't think that this is the president's fault that we find ourselves at this juncture.
No.
But in the meantime, how do you handle it? What is the way to stop them? And there's two ways to stop them. You need to buy them out of this, like we did Iran, which the president clearly is not going to do. That does not match his philosophy politically, or at least he says he's not going to do it. But you never know. And then, because he's always negotiating, or you go into some sort of military exchange. The problem with the military exchange is he's got a hostage. He's got South Korea. Does Kim Jong-un. And he's got Japan to some degree as well. So do you want to see Seoul get obliterated, which military experts last night were talking about it would take 45 seconds to start a firestorm in Seoul.
Crazy.
45 seconds.
You saw Chinese state media also put out the warning today that said unleashing fire and fury is not going to do anything but potentially ignite a catastrophic conflagration, is the way they put it, and said tit for tat confrontation is not the way to do it, but dialogue may be the only way to defuse North Korean nuclear crisis.
All right. Well, then what are you doing? But see, the thing is that China has to cut them off now. They do have to cut them off. And there's a way to cut them off and starve them out.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut away the Johnny Walker Blue collection from Kim Jong-un, if you stop sending that to his castle in Pyongyang, then it kind of goes. All right, checking in at
number 4.
Now, also in his comments to reporters today, Mr. Trump suggested that he would bargain with China, speaking thereof, by backing down from his planned trade war if Beijing did more to resolve the impasse.
I think China can do a lot more, yes. China can, and I think China will do a lot more. Look, we have trade with China. We lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year on trade with China. They know how I feel. It's not going to continue like that. But if China helps us, I feel a lot differently for trade.
See, it's negotiating a deal. This is what he said he was going to do.
China could be a larger partner in this. But...
China.
He likes saying that. Doesn't
China.
I think it's with a G when he says it, actually. China. There's no ch-ch.
I think he thinks it's a person.
All right, so.
Jimmy China.
Maybe there's something there. Mm. Do you think China will go along with it? I don't know.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. That would be preferable to Plan B. Plan B, no good.
Nope.
Especially if you're living in Seoul. All right. We will get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Violetta Powdermedic standing by with the WGN News being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Wake up and watch the new WGN-TV Early Morning News with Lauren Jiggett, Stan Ponce, traffic with Sarah Gindra, weather with Morgan Kolkmeyer. It's all weekdays 4 a.m. to 6 a.m.
All right. Top 5-5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Checking in at
number 3.
Donald Trump all the time today in the top 5-5. President Trump says he's plowing forward with his proposed ban on transgender people serving in the armed services, which he announced in tweet form weeks ago. Mr. Trump's idea came almost exactly 1 year after transgender service members were told they could serve openly in the U.S. military. Today, he says the military should thank him for the reversal.
It's been a very difficult situation, and I think I'm doing a lot of people a favor by coming out and just saying it. As you know, it's been a very complicated issue for the military. It's been a very confusing issue for the military, and I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Doesn't he mean me when he says military? It's been very confusing.
Can you
isolate the video or the audio there where he just says, I think I'd do a lot of people a favor by coming out and just stop it there and just have that case.
Perfect.
I think he, when you, military doesn't publicly acknowledge it. As a matter of fact, when the military, as you'll recall, the Joint Chiefs, when they found out about this, because one of their millennial assistants told them it was on Twitter, they were like, stand by. We're not. And remember, they were asked almost immediately. Defense Department was asked, and they're like, that's not policy.
Yeah,
we'll get back to you because we're still in the middle of this.
They were surprised by it.
Yeah.
Some at the Pentagon.
I think I'm doing a lot of people a favor by coming out.
Just in case.
Just saying. I'll tell
you, you know what? There's a lot of things I think that are going to be revealed about Donald Trump over the next number of months or years that maybe will not fall in his favor. That, I can assure you, is not one of them.
Best friend they ever had, though, as we'll tell you. Best friend they've ever had. Any of them.
All right. Checking in at
number 2.
The president was asked if Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell should consider stepping down if he can't pass a key legislation Republicans have promised. And the president says, hey, maybe McConnell's days are numbered.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he doesn't get repeal and replace done, and if he doesn't get taxes done, meaning cuts and reform, and if he doesn't get a very easy one to get done, infrastructure, if he doesn't get them done, then you can ask me that question.
And he was the subject of the early morning tweets today. McConnell was taking a lot of the brunt of that.
All of these sound bites, the president sounds like that crazy neighbor who's yelling at you from inside his garage across the street.
And another thing.
Are you going to take down those offensive lawn? Well, you can. I'll tell you when I will.
Yeah, it seems right? Like the focus really should be North Korea right now.
See, people are wondering why there's more dysfunction in Washington. I think the people who voted for Donald Trump thought, well, this will be good because it'll unify everything. It'll be the House, the Senate. The executive branch will finally get our way and the things that we want. That you know, whether you're a Trump supporter or you're a conservative or you're sometimes the same, not always, or just a regular old garden variety Republican. Mm-hmm. And again, may not fit into all any of those other categories. But you thought, well, the one good thing here is Supreme Court, which they got done. And then after that, Zippity doo dah. Mm. Yeah, he signed some executive orders, but those are, you know, those have limited impact in the long run. I mean, legislation is the where it's really at, but there's been no major legislation.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Didn't he get that tribute to Fred Dalton Thompson pass, though, the great actor and late senator? That was one of the major pieces.
But until he gets that, he can't, this you know, having all three. And one of the reasons is that he's picking a fight with his own people, which he kind of knew he was going to do.
That's been his modus operandi.
He was boasting about the unemployment rate today earlier in that speech, and the companies that have moved here, like Foxconn, those were some of the.
Foxconn's not an American company. Mm. I don't. I know.
You kept saying it was like Apple, but you know, those are some of the accomplishments he listed off today.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. All right, but I do know this. Here's what I do know.
Number one.
All right. So we started with him saying that maybe he didn't go far enough. The president didn't go far enough in his fire and fury comment yesterday. So what is tough enough?
The people of this country should be very comfortable. And I will tell you this. If North Korea does anything in terms of even thinking about attack of anybody that we love or we represent or our allies or us, they can be very, very nervous. I'll tell you what, and they should be very nervous because things will happen to them like they never thought possible. Okay?
All right. Well, all right.
Five families.
See, I think it's interesting. Because it's easy for us to sit here and talk about it because we are still detached from it. But if you're in North Korea.
South Korea.
Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah. South Korea. Mm. Thank you. If you're in South Korea or Japan, I mean, hell, if you're in North Korea, you know, I mean, they don't even know about this.
Probably.
True. Yeah.
But if you're in Northeast China, you're in South Korea, Japan, these are people with children lives and, you know, innocence that have nothing to do with what's going on here. And you know, they get into the crosshair. And I suppose you have to stop and say, well, and you can't really do anything about it. Hmm. What are you going to do?
And there are Americans living in those places, too.
28,000 United States service personnel on the border. Yeah. 28,000 U.S. service personnel in country in Korea right now who have families here as well.
Just playing tough guy checkers with their lives. You know,
correct.
President. Tens of thousands of lives.
You know, he keeps talking about Foxconn. Like, Foxconn, he is aware that Foxconn is a Taiwanese company.
Is he?
It's not like we're bringing American jobs back with Foxconn. I mean, I get the idea of, like, look, Japanese companies come here and they employ people, the car manufacturers and everybody. That's great. And that is all true. And Foxconn is going to be moving stuff back here. But the profits don't stay in the United States. It does have jobs, but, you know, they're American companies are not necessarily doing those things. And, by the way, the state of Wisconsin, did you see the story? Mm-hmm. The state of Wisconsin is going to take 12 years before they receive tax receipts from Foxconn for being there.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm glad they're there.
I'm sure.
I'm glad they're there. It's good for the Chicago metropolitan area because that's going to be in southeastern Wisconsin. There are going to be Illinois people who are going to get jobs there. I'm very happy that any time a factory opens, it is great news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is not it's not a universal win. Mm-hmm. It's a nice incremental thing. Mm-hmm. And many of the things that the president's taking credit for here were in the works as well.
Sure.
Absolutely. And like the whole nuclear thing. I've upgraded the whole nuclear system. It's so much better now. It's great. I just love in the last 6 months how literally nothing has come out of Congress, but yet everything is so much better.
Yeah.
Does anybody stop and go, what? Like, the economy is so much. He hasn't done anything for the economy other than the hope that Wall Street has that he is going to eventually get to tax reform, to a budget that is, you know, will certainly, you know, the white collar welfare that people talk about for Boeing and for, you know, big companies like that, well, it'll be good for them, because if he wants to rebuild the military, it's, you know, Boeing and Grumman and all the rest are going to do very, very, very well. Okay. And so that's where the economy, you know, if you stop and you look at Boeing, Boeing is one of the biggest drivers of the Dow Industrial increase here, because they're waiting for something to happen. But it doesn't happen until it gets done. And it doesn't get done while you're still shooting at your own guys. I gotta go.
Okay.
Thank you.
I invented the iPhone 8 coming out soon. That's mine.
He'll take credit for that.
I don't think he knows. They just hand him a new phone, which they should stop doing.
Oh, they stopped doing that.
Take away the phone.
Remember they took away Barack Obama's?
Yeah.
It was BlackBerry at the time.
Why can't they take away his iPhone? Why can't they do that? Why don't they just do that? It'd be so much better for the world.
The BlackBerry.
And then, back then. Let Pence start tweeting.
Those are always very sincere. It is appropriate.
It is the greatest honor and privilege of my life. Everything starts
my
with
God,
that.
Yes.
Comma. And that's fine. That's great.
The unanimous smartphone. Just got this new tip calculator. It's great.
I want Donald Trump to spend more time on the golf course. That's what
too.
I would like. Yes.
Yeah. Good luck. It's a working vacation. Look, it doesn't seem
I know.
Like...
And he's working, though. He said he's going to work. And he's doing exactly what he said. All right. let's close this thing up, and then Judy Palak is coming away in 2 minutes.
The top five at five.
Richard Roper has stepped into the studio.
Yes.
Brought to you by Architect.
Woohoo!
How about that?
Yeah, I love those guys.
Oh yeah. Well, you have
the deck.
You're probably the you're the charter member of my deck. You're the first person that came over to
get
hang
to
out
it.
On it, and you've probably been there more than anybody else. I hate to say this,
including you,
including me. Yeah.
Sometimes
they just show up and he's sitting there. He figured out how to start the fire in the fire pit by himself.
Oh.
Ro flings open his Evita-like doors from his upper tier bedroom with his silk robe and his cigar.
Right.
Who's making noise down there? The damn raccoon's back. Oh, it's Rich. Let myself in. Go back to bed.
Basically true.
It's a beautiful, beautiful setup. They did a magnificent job.
Serene, picturesque.
We couldn't just leave. We couldn't leave, right?
It
was just like the hours just rolled by.
Until Ro said, okay, bye bye.
He flicks the lights on and off.
Got to go.
Plays that closing time song by Semisonic.
It's like, oh, that's a nice song. No, no, no.
Yeah. No,
I mean
you have
it.
To go. Yeah.
No.
Until the neighbors called and they said, I believe there's a drunk 10-year-old in your patio right now.
I believe you're speaking about me.
That's
yes.
Her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, she's not 10, but she is drunk.
And her voice does project. So
I was
sorry.
Very respectful.
You were. You really were.
You know what? What was respectful is your parents actually provided all the food for that. So that was the best.
Thank you, Bronco.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Mama Pod. Yeah.
Making it up for me.
You were really incredible.
My gosh.
They've been doing it their whole lives. All right. Here we go. All Richard Roper reviews. Let's start with Wind River.
Yeah, Wind River. Okay, so Wind River is from the writer and director Taylor Sheridan, who's one of these people you'd like to hate him because he's too great, because he's this great looking guy. He was on Sons of Anarchy. He's an actor, and now he's written three movies, and the three movies he has written are Sicario, Hell or High Water, and now Wind River. And that's 3 4-star movies in a row. I loved Wind River. It is a great film. When they say they don't make movies like this anymore, they do. This kind of reminded me a little bit of No Country for Old Men. It's got a little bit of Winter's Bone and even a little bit of Silence of the Lambs. It's set in the very unforgiving terrain of Wyoming during the winter. Jeremy Renner plays a U.S. Fish and Wildlife, kind of a hunter tracker, and a body of a teenage girl is found in the snow in the middle of nowhere. So it's a murder investigation, but because it took place on an Indian reservation, they got to bring the feds in. The feds are exactly one fed. The closest fed is based in Las Vegas, and they bring her in, and that's Elizabeth Olsen, and she is the classic fish out of water who arrives straight from Vegas in heels and a smart outfit, and finds herself on the open plains. And we got a little clip here where she has just arrived, and they're explaining to her the circumstances of the case.
By yourself?
Yeah, it's just me.
No, Ben Shoy, I'm the tribal police chief. That's Corey Lambert with Fish and Wildlife. He's where he found the body. And this is his father-in-law, Dan. You don't do nothing.
We got the same job, eh?
Well, I'm sorry to meet under these circumstances. So, do you want to show me the body? I don't mean to be rude. I'm just freezing my ass off here. So, the quicker, the better.
Yeah? Well, that's going to get a lot worse if you go out there dressed like that.
Oh. get a little feel for the setup there.
Yeah, just, you know, and it's just beautifully filmed. So it's a, you know, it's a thriller about how this girl ended up in the snow, murdered, because there's nobody within miles and miles of this area. And it's also a great character study. And there's a lot in there about, you know, life on the Indian reservation there, which is, you know, destroyed by poverty and drug addiction and alcoholism, you know, and it's a hard country. And Jeremy Renner is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife guy. I mean, like I said, he's literally a hunter. His job is to shoot the coyotes when they're preying on sheep on ranches, or to take down the mountain lions who are, you know, killing steer. I mean, this is the kind of life that's happening in 2017 in these bleak regions of Wyoming. And it's just, you know, really gritty and raw, great dialogue. Elizabeth Olsen, who is, if people don't know, the younger sister of the Olsen twins, is just an absolutely fantastic actress. You see her in some of the Avengers movies and other things, but she's great. And she does remind me a little bit of the Jodie Foster character in Silence of the Lambs, that, you know, that green FBI agent who is brought into this very, very dark world. And then there are some moments of shocking violence. It's just, it's haunting.
What could possibly go wrong here?
It's really one of the best movies of the year, 4 stars, and I would be shocked if it doesn't get nominations for Best Picture. I think the acting could get nominated, certainly the screenplay and the cinematography, because it's such beautiful country, but just such tough. I mean, it just literally kills people out there, just surviving out there in the middle of nowhere. But it's home, and there's nowhere else to go.
You know, it's interesting about this young actress, too, because she, you know, she started as like basically a baby on her sister's TV show, right?
Yeah.
Remember they did that, like, TV, that the mysteries of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen mysteries or whatever. She was on that show. And no one really takes the Olsen sisters seriously as actors.
Right, exactly.
Right? And now, all of a sudden, you have this young woman who I wouldn't exactly put her in the same category as a Jessica Chastain, but she's
getting there,
pretty close.
Yeah, and you know, we talked to her when she was 22, maybe, because she's in her late 20s now, and it was clear that, you know, she had learned from some of her sister's mistakes. I mean, and they're brilliant businesswomen. They're worth more money than they'll ever need. But you're right, they were never taken seriously as actresses.
Right.
They did a lot of made for TV type fluffy adventures. And she just went a different route, and you know, you see nothing about her personal life or anything about her out at the clubs or anything.
It's true.
And you see her just taking the craft of acting seriously and getting in prestige projects and then big budget pictures as well. So you really have to admire the career she's crafted, you know, carved out for herself.
Very special,
and really
special
good.
Actress.
And Jeremy Renner, you know, this is right up his alley.
Can't go wrong.
It's the kind of role that Clint Eastwood or Steve McQueen would have played back in the day. Not a lot of emoting, but when he does, it's that much more powerful. It's a great film, Wind River.
Is there an Oscar buzz around this one, you think? Or will
I don't
there
know. You know, I think one of the problems, we've talked about this before, it's the Wind River Reservation, but it's one of those, you know, you think, oh, is this going to be some sort of nature movie, or are they climbing mountains? And it's not, you know.
It's
a thriller. It's a gritty, you know, tough thriller, and just a terrific performance. You heard one of the voices you heard there was Graham Greene, who's been around forever. Remember, he was Kevin Costner's Indian best friend in Dances with Wolves. He's great. Gil Birmingham plays a grieving father. He was the partner of Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water. Another great actor. So all these great character performances as well.
Glass Castles.
Yeah, the Glass Castle. So about 10 years ago, Jeanette Walls, people might know that name because she was a gossip columnist for like USA Today and MSNBC. She's been on. She's still around. She wrote this memoir about growing up in this highly dysfunctional family in the 70s and 80s. I mean, her parents were self-proclaimed hippies. You know, they were squatters. The dad was a hardcore alcoholic. So this is the story of her life in the scene set in, not current day, but the later scenes are set in the late 80s, where Jeanette Walls is living in New York City. She's with a financial advisor. She's got this successful life. But then we get all these flashbacks to her childhood. And her parents were just absolutely horrible, neglectful people. What I don't like about this movie is what they do with a lot of movies, like that they kind of glamorize that kind of independent hippie lifestyle, when in reality, these parents are horrible human beings. I mean, the little girl, in real life, this happened too, Jeanette Walls, she's 5 years old, and she burned herself horribly because she was trying to cook dinner because her parents couldn't handle it. Her brother was molested by his grandmother, and when the parents found out, they kind of said, hey, you know, you just got to get through life, and they didn't do anything about it. And then this movie tries to tie things up with kind of a little sentimentality later in the movie, where she kind of has this, you know, reconciliation with her parents. And I don't buy it for 1 second. So, you know, good performances, but 2 stars. It's very disappointing because You got Naomi Watson and Woody Harrelson playing the parents. Oh, Brie Larson playing the grown-up Jeanette Walls.
Although I can tell you this, I've seen the trailer for this in the movie theater.
What'd you think?
And you got to see the movie theater trailers because that's the thing. The commercial doesn't really count. No. You feel you get a much better sense of it. And this is a big overacting moment, I think, for Woody Harrelson, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's played this guy before too. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy, the stubble bum drunk, and you know, all this charisma, and he's good at it. But yeah,
two clunkers in a row for Woody.
He's been in a few.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was in the War for the Planet of the Apes. We like that.
Yeah,
but he's crazy colonel.
But isn't he? No. I think there's another one in the works too. Well, we'll see.
Up and down.
I love Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Ever since True Detective. He just goes down in history. That was it. And he's always been, you know, something interesting, but then boom, that hit and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, you're right.
This is one of the great
best performances ever.
He's one of the great actors. Okay. All right. On the other side, the Ferguson documentary. Wait till you hear about this. Mm-hmm. But first, Violetta Biomedics got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Anybody growing up here, you tangibly know when you cross the county line, you got to drive a little differently. Your behavior changes because you know how policing changes.
Ferguson police just killed a man in front of my apartment.
People flooded in the area have some experience with police.
Things have never been right for black folks in America.
We're trying to mourn, and you came here with 300 cop cars, riot gear, and canine units.
You gonna shoot me too?
That ain't the story.
All right, this is the movie Whose Streets, which is a documentary about Ferguson, Missouri that has just come out. Richard Roper is here to review.
Yeah, so Whose Streets is a really kind of a street-level documentary about the uprisings in Ferguson, which were, almost 3 years ago now, after Michael Brown, the unarmed teenager, was shot. And there was kind of two sets of, if you remember, week-long protests right after the shootings, and then when they decided not to move forward with charges against the officer who shot Michael Brown 8 times. And this is not some attempt to, re-examine the circumstances of the case and what Michael Brown was doing in the convenience store and all that, or really even to do a big picture thing where they talk to a lot of police and the governor and the mayor. Those people are represented in the movie, but usually just through news footage. This is all about the residents of Ferguson, many of whom were out there every single night, many of whom lived in the same apartment complex as Michael Brown and knew him their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And they just, a lot of them, videoed everything. They had the phones out, in some cases, actually good old fashioned, video cameras. There's, some people had things they called the cop watch, and they put a sticker on their thing and let police know, we're going to videotape everything. So you really see, even though the video coverage was, all inclusive, and some people thought, actually exploited the situation and exacerbated things at times. You still would never get this kind of stuff because we're talking about people walking out their front doors and filming stuff from their point of view. That's what most of this documentary is about. And then, they do the classic thing where they highlight three or four of the activists, who, including a lesbian couple who have, they're giddy in love and they're looking forward to their future, but they're worried about their future as well.
But Michael Brown wasn't just an unarmed kid. I mean, he'd reached in for the police officer's gun. And there was
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. This isn't about that. I mean, that's the thing. You could, there have been all kinds of specials and articles
that
written about that. They don't gloss over that. I mean, they talk about, there's a little bit, but it's really not about that. About whether or not, the police officer, like we said, he was not indicted on criminal charges, right? But it's about the uprisings and the way it was handled from both ends. And again, it doesn't it's not saying, look at all these holy angels, they're not all innocent people. There's footage of people breaking in and burning down stores and doing all that nonsense that's got nothing to do with trying to get their voice out there. 3.5
Woo!
For Whose Streets.
Wow. Huh. All right. Richard Roper Reviews.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
All right. We got a real Chicago hero with us to play News or Ruse. And this is all a way of Violetta. We're sending our own little Violetta. She's all grown up now.
She is.
Proud of her. We're sending her out to do her first event tonight.
So exciting.
If people want to go out, and she's going to represent the show now. And I'm not going to be there to chaperone and make sure that she doesn't ruin the brand here.
What's the worst that could happen?
Oh. my God.
There's going to be a bunch of police officers and firemen there. We'll be fine.
It's the 7th annual Pig Out for Charity. It's a Chicago police take on the Chicago Fire in a burger eating contest. There's going to be live music, raffle prizes, food and drink. Violetta is hosting. Oh, my God. The money goes to the 100 Club, which is a wonderful organization.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be at, where's it going to be?
25 degrees, 736 North Clark.
736 North Clark. So just south of Chicago Avenue on Clark Street.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be a good time.
And that is from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock tonight. Tickets are $30. And again, the money goes to the 100 Club. And attendees must be 21 or older. You hear me?
Yeah. I feel like they're going to card me.
Right.
I swear, I'm hosting. Can you guys let me in?
Yeah, like you're.
It's got to happen all the time to you, Violetta.
Why is there a 10-year-old trying to get in? That's
like
what she's.
Looks
that's what
so
we're gonna
young.
Do. Am I on the list? Am I on the list?
No, really.
Call Ro. He said I could get in.
No, don't mention Ro's name.
Yeah, don't. Right. I always. Now that's to the point now where I have to say that to people. Just don't say that I did anything here. Just I don't want anything to do with this. We have Jason Branstetter, 20-year Chicago police officer, a patrolman, who, you know what? I'm sure you've taken someone into custody somewhere outside this place on right here in Chicago. Thank you for your service to the city, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Really Thanks for having me on the show. This is great. Thank you.
Really is something. You know, we talked to, there was a lot of cops have been on the show and guys telling stories about things that they've done. But, you know, when you got to think about what it's like to be a patrolman for 20 years in this city and the things you've seen. And I know you've worked, you know, North Side for a lot of it, and you've seen changes and you've seen things, you know, kind of going right and going wrong. And bless you for doing what you do, man.
Thank you
very much. The kind
of things
you've
encountered. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk about what this is. Now, News or Ruse is a game, and you're gonna play it with our contestants. You're getting your own contestant here, which is, you know, and just good luck with you. There's Mike is going to be with you. Julie is playing with Violetta, and Dave is playing with Judy. Right? So there's what could possibly go wrong? And the winners here are going to get, I said Kiss earlier because I was told it was Kiss. Turns out it's 4 tickets to an evening with Gene Simmons and his band, which is basically, he is Kiss because he put everybody in the face makeup of Kiss so that if people dropped in or out of the band, no one would know the difference. That is the truth. That is what he did there because that was his whole thing.
He's also a fascinating character.
It's presented by Wizard World Comic Con on Saturday, August 26th at the Park West. See one of the world's most recognized personalities. Get tickets at parkwestchicago.com, plus a $25 Paisanos gift card. Paisanos, you can ship anywhere. Order at paisanoschicago.com. And now the runners-up get a pair of tickets. So the winner gets 4 tickets. Mm-hmm. The runners-up get 2 tickets. So everybody's a winner here, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
It's one of the reasons we love this game so much.
I'd like to know who's flying their airplane, by the way, back there in the background. I'm not quite sure who it is. Dave, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Julie, you there?
I'm here.
All right. And Mike?
I'm here.
Mike's flying the plane, I think.
Mike is flying the plane.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mike? Are you
check
in the car?
Some of the traffic trouble spots while you're up there.
I think what's happening is Mike's flying a blimp over Soldier Field right now in advance of the Bears' first preseason game. Mike, you might have to land that blimp and cart someone off the field and rush them immediately to Northwestern. That could happen, sir.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Just let me know. All right, here we go. Here is your first headline. Dave and Judy, it is to you. Sleep out protest outside Disneyland by homeless advocates ends because of sprinklers.
That sounds like news to me.
Yeah, I think so.
You got it. Sniff that one out right away. All right, Julie, Violetta. Plan to shoot wolves from helicopters hurt protected Alaskan wolf population, study says. I'll read it again. Plan to shoot wolves from helicopters hurt protected Alaskan wolf population, study says.
What do you think, Violetta?
I don't know. I think it's too cold in Alaska for helicopters.
Or wolves?
All right, we say ruse.
Ruse.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Both actually...
Let me. I just want to dig back through that for just a second.
You want to unpack that?
Yeah, I want to unpack that.
I'd like to actually say news at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Of course you would, because it's too cold for helicopters. I like the way that started. It's too cold for helicopters in Alaska.
Uh huh.
It just seemed right at the time.
Really? Really? Have you ever seen those, like, those things about the North Pole where they show a helicopter landing to, like, you know, pick up people at the North Pole? Have you ever seen that?
No. The fact that it's actually warmer here than Alaska a lot of days.
Yeah. That, no, no.
Okay, all are you going to yell at us now when we don't get it right?
Well, I'm going to yell at her.
New evil turn.
She's hosting a very important event tonight.
She's already nervous. Leave her alone.
Yeah, I'm
nervous. Not yelling at the contestant. I'm yelling at Violetta for saying a helicopter can't fly in the cold.
Save your yelling until she finishes her event tonight. And then
Violetta, save your right answers for your event.
Okay, exactly what I was doing, Judy. Thank you.
All right, Mike and Jason, I'm sorry you had to be here for this, Jason. All right, here is your headline. ESPN transforms ESPNU to ESPN 8, the Ocho, on August 8th.
What do you think?
Oh, what do you think?
I'm thinking news.
News?
Yes.
All right. We'll go with you. We'll go with what you think.
That is true. Surprisingly.
Well, that was 2 days ago too. I mean, shouldn't we have known that?
Good job, Mike.
Yeah. Well, all right. The Ocho. Yep. There you go.
All right.
Dave and Judy. Here is your headline. No one wants to sit next to journalists on planes, trains, or public transit. Survey finds.
I'm glad we didn't give this to the copper. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, but I'm glad I got it.
Yeah. I'm glad you did too.
You know what? That better be a ruse. But what do you think, Dave?
I think it's a ruse also. We haven't had a ruse yet.
Except for Violetta made a ruse out of a helicopter flying in Alaska. Right. You going to go with the ruse?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Oh,
that's right.
Because
everyone loves them a journalist.
Mm, yeah,
not
right.
Really.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Them.
Yeah. All right, Julie and Violetta, here is your headline.
Julie, we're counting on you.
Yes, Julie, we really are counting on you. Here we go. Bike share scheme isn't working because people don't know how to share. Bike share scheme isn't working because people don't know how to share.
Wow. Seems like a loaded question, but what do you think, Julie?
I think it's news.
News? I was going to say ruse, but let's go with your first instinct.
Yeah,
okay, perfect.
Just like that. Yes.
That worked out great. No, that's fabulous.
Just no one listen to me and we'll be just fine.
Yeah. All right. And to Mike and Jason, before we take our break here, to Mike and Jason, here is your headline.
Man in wheelchair says he was ticketed because he couldn't cross road fast enough.
That's probably true, but
so sad.
What do you think? You're a cop. What do you think?
I'm going to say that it's news.
I'll go news.
Thankfully, it was not in Chicago. It was in Denver.
Wow, look at that. But, cops have an instinct. You know when people are lying to you.
Oh, my gosh. You're the best at calling that out.
Yeah.
I think that's so true.
That is totally true. All right, people, hold on 1 second. We're going to come right back on the other side here, and we will we'll find out who's going to win this thing. Now, Julie and Violetta, they're trailing right now. Everybody else has gotten everything right. Julie and Violetta missed one, which means that's one out of two, so that'd be half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've got to come back. We're going to get the first headline on the way back, and if you don't get it right, then you're out. But still, everybody's a winner because even the runners-up get an evening with Gene Simmons and his band presented by the Wizard World Comic-Con on Saturday, August 26th at Park West. See one of the world's most recognized personalities and co-founder of KISS on a solo tour. Get tickets online at parkwestchicago.com. Okay. All right. But right now, Violetta Powdermedic has got the WGN traffic trouble spots being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
And then there's this: play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
It's News or Ruse, and we are very, very proud to have a Chicago hero with us, Jason Brandstetter, 20-year Chicago police officer, patrolman. And he is taking part in the 7th annual Pig Out for Charity, which is happening tonight, hosted by our own Violetta Podramatic. It's at 25 degrees. That's at 736 North Clark Street in Chicago. And that starts at 7 o'clock, goes till 10 o'clock tonight. Tickets are $30 at the door. Attendees must be 21 or over. And it's an power eating contest. And you've done this before, Jason.
What's
every
that like?
Year that this is the 7th annual, you've done 7 of these.
Yeah.
How many burgers do you need to eat?
It's a 4-man relay, so you each have to eat a pound burger. It's just a burger and bun, and then whichever team finishes first, and then you go against the other team. So you actually have to eat two.
Oh God!
Within like a like an hour and a half. Yeah, you, I mean,
now you're in good shape. Yeah. I mean, you work out a little bit.
Hey,
I can tell right now.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Unlike me, you work out. But I know the power eaters, people who like do this professionally, they tend to be very thin.
They're all skinny,
like skinny guys, because they get, you know, they have tricks. You know, like they like eat a whole thing of Vaseline before they actually, you know. Eat this stuff. Do you do anything in preparation for this? You just go right at it.
You just kind of go right ahead. But the one trick, and then they said we can't do it anymore. As we would take the bun off the burger and let it soak in the water.
Yeah, so it's like, drinking it. More.
That is disgusting.
It's totally disgusting. It's not.
But you do what you have to do.
Yeah, you do what you got to do.
Why would you ruin a good burger like that, yeah, right?
I don't think you're really enjoying it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely not enjoying the burger at all.
How long does it take you to eat a one-pound burger, would you say? Do you know?
Yeah, I can do it in less than a minute.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Everybody on my team, we have it's pretty competitive. You know, you kind of go out scouting throughout the year.
Like you watch your colleagues eat or something, the other cops, you're like, wait a minute.
You gotta eat fast,
really
right?
Fast.
I mean, you got a limited amount of time you can actually eat on the job. Yeah.
It's all about eating fast. Most of the guys, I'm the biggest guy on the team for sure. A couple skinny guys. They just eat fast. I think they get sick afterwards.
Pepto-Bismol.
It's not pretty for sure. It's not pretty.
Yeah, but what it is, let's face it, police work isn't pretty. And it's cops versus firefighters for the 100 Club.
Yeah.
So that's what the whole thing's
more
about.
Competitive,
That's going to be a lot of fun. That is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it will.
All right, that is tonight. And Violetta's hosting it, so it's going to be amazingly fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting.
Violetta, when left to her own devices, you have no idea how that's going to end up.
So do you guys put anything on those burgers? No cheese, no?
You know, a couple times somebody's dipped it in ketchup, but they're not really serious about it.
No.
Yeah, now you're taking your time if you're going to do that.
They don't do very good. Yeah. No, it's nothing. You just eat as fast as you can. It's kind of gross.
Back to the game we go. It's the Orion Samuelson round, and we have our contestants standing by here. Dave is playing with Judy. Julie is with Violetta, and Mike is with Jason. All right, here you go. Right now, this headline goes to Julie and Violetta. You got to get this right to stay in it. Otherwise, it's all over for them.
This is so stressful.
Here is your Julia there.
I'm here.
All right. Apparently, Mike has landed his blimp, so we're good to go. All right, Julie, here is the headline.
Florida mathlete appeals failed drug test in hope of regaining state title.
There you go.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, Julie, before you make your decision, they do try to throw you off sometimes with Florida, but this seems like a normal story out of Florida.
I think it's news.
All right, we're going news.
Oh,
Julie, I knew we shouldn't listen
to you.
All
right,
I'm just kidding, but everyone's a winner.
All right, yeah, everyone's a winner. Julie, you're still getting a pair of tickets to go see Gene Simmons. He's a legend, and he knows it, which is even the best part of that.
He'll tell you.
All right, here we go. Let's to see if they can stay in it right here. Dave and Judy, here is your headline.
Pigeon busted smuggling drugs in a tiny backpack.
Oh, wow.
It was too bad the copper didn't get that one. Mm-hmm. He probably knows the answer. All right, Dave and Judy, what do you think?
What do you think, Dave?
Well, I don't think it would be a huge amount of drugs, so I got a feeling it's ruse.
Yeah, I think so, too. Ruse.
178 pills strapped to his back.
Oh, I didn't even think of pills.
Those drug couriers, they're very, very slick.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Police officer, you have a chance to win this thing right now, patrolman. You could do it right here. Mike and Jason, here is your headline.
Texas approves feral hog hunting by hot air balloon.
What do you think, Mike?
Man, it sounds believable, but I'm not sure.
I'm going to say that's news.
Me too. I'll go news.
All right. Look at that. Oh, yeah. A big win. The takedown right there.
Good job, Mike.
Yeah. Very, very well done.
Congrats,
all right.
Mike.
You got a four-pack to go see Gene Simmons and his band presented by Wizard World Comic Con on Saturday, August 26th at the Park West. Don't miss us. Get tickets at parkwestchicago.com. And everybody gets the Paisano's gift certificate as well. All right.
Jason, maybe this is just the first win of your evening. You might win the eating contest
as
well. Have you ever done that?
What's
are you a winner?
Yeah,
regular?
We're going for our fifth win. Five out of seven.
Wow.
Nice.
So police, and it's not the same police every the firefighters the same. You're the one that's been the consistent.
Yeah,
this,
we
right?
On our team we got the same couple guys that have been doing that. I got to find somebody or I'll throw somebody off the team if they didn't do good the year before.
Wow,
tough coach. Look at him; he's a player coach. He's one of those guys.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, man, you're out. Yeah,
right. This is the way Halas started, by the way, with the Bears. I just want to let you know. It all went from there. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you
for your service to the city.
Thank you very much.
20 years Chicago Copper, and we were just talking about whether you're staying on, and you're staying on.
Yeah,
you're staying on.
Yeah,
it's a very great thing.
Yeah,
it is. It's tough work out there.
It is.
And for the firefighters, too. The one thing I know that we have, this is for the 100 Club, 100clubchicago.org, by the way, the number 100, if people want to donate to them. And I don't want to bring anybody down here, but, this has been very, very violent last number of years here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the death toll could have been so much worse were it not for the very brave men and women of the Chicago Fire Department who were there patching people up when this is happening.
I think most people realize that. So
yeah,
we hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too, because that is really something. Because you have 2,500 people shot and only 700 dead or whatever it is, or 3,700. I mean, you got to think about that. That's pretty amazing. All right. Well, thank you again for your work and have fun tonight. And Violetta's going to be hosting. I mean, let's just face it. How do you go wrong here? You got a bar on Clark Street. You got Violetta and you got cops and firefighters eating themselves sick. I mean, there's not what could possibly go wrong?
And live music.
And live music. Who's the band? Do we even know who the band is?
Yeah, we. Yeah, we should.
You're hosting it, Violetta.
I have it right here. I introduced at some point.
Oh, my gosh.
She has her notes. Oh, people, you got to go. Yeah, this is worth the $30 just to watch her work. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right.
She's got it. Okay, yeah. We'll get to it
She's going through all of her notes. She's got a beautiful black dress on. She's going to rock the thing. It's going to be great.
Matt Stedman and the Ring of Music Orchestra.
All right. Okay. Very good.
Fun.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I'm so lost this week in terms of what day it is. This is another one of those cloudy weeks that we go through in our
little
business.
Bit of a whirlwind in terms of what's going on.
It is Thursday, right?
Thursday today.
Okay.
Yes.
Today
is
Thursday.
It is.
All right. Tomorrow
is Friday.
On the program. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Knarble wagon a very special Knarble wagon, very special live music as well, as we do now on Fridays. We also have Congressman Adam Kinzinger is going to be here. Susie Sunshine is going to count your money. And Mike Rogers, who was scheduled to be on the program with us today, will be here tomorrow. Mike Rogers used to be the head of the Intel Committee for the House of Representatives, and all 16 of the intelligence services reported to him. So he knows a little something about something.
Sure he does.
It goes on here. Yeah. So.
Great guess.
That is what that's going to be on the program tomorrow. Stop by, would you? Because there's a lot going on.
It really is.
All right. Did you see this story? Perhaps. This is not news nor ruse. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever underestimate the value of free Wi-Fi. This is just a little of how the world has changed. A new survey finds that teens and young adults, millennials, on vacation care more about complimentary Wi-Fi than they do about anything else, including price.
Really? I mean, if you care about price, I mean, if you just had to pay $10 or something for the Wi-Fi, you would think that paying less for a hotel would then make it, even.
40% of vacationers aged 16 to 24 put wireless internet at the top of their deal breakers list when it comes to staying in a hotel.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you mean just having internet, or you mean having it free?
Right.
Hmm.
They want the Wi-Fi. They want the free Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't care about how much the hotel room costs. So, kind of tells you.
I think it might be maybe mom and dad's helping with the hotel.
Yeah, maybe the 16 to 25. That is an excellent observation on your part.
Wait, what's the high end of that age range? You said 20.
16 to 24. 24.
You're using maybe the timeshare, the family timeshare.
Yeah, but you got to have the Wi-Fi. Well, this is really kind of an interesting thing because you go to like the lower end hotels in terms of price range, offer the free Wi-Fi. The higher end hotels charge you for it. And they're already charging you more for the room. I never understood that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand why it's charged at all. You know?
The big business or luxury brands, you know, that you go and they're like, hey, excuse me, Mr. Khan, your Wi-Fi will be $39 a day.
Well, like, and you need the Wi-Fi for your phone to work, you know, over wherever you're visiting. Because a lot of times you can use FaceTime or Messenger and you can communicate that way without paying the monthly traveling charges on your phone. So,
right.
Well, where do you have to pay? You have to be out of the country, really, for that to apply.
Right. Oh, well, this
she
is
spends
local.
A lot of time out of the country. Serbia. Apparently. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Was there Wi-Fi in Serbia for you?
Yeah, there's not, you know, cemented roads, dirt roads, but Wi-Fi is everywhere.
That's amazing.
I know. Everyone's got Facebook. I'm like, you guys don't have a job.
And then did the GPS work there too? Like, in terms of finding streets for you, little tiny roads?
So the street that when you turn off the main highway to get to my, or main, it's not a highway, main street to get onto my small street to go to my village, not on a map. Like, we kept passing it because my sister's like, no, it's like a mile up. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's right here. We just turned on a side road, and then that takes us right to our...
Isn't there, like on your phone, could you find it?
No, there's not a road.
But I mean, like on your phone, like with the little bubble and the thing and the
Oh yeah, you could find it, but they take you in a roundabout way to get there because they don't know that this road exists. I guess
road does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Important that the road does not exist.
I would expect that's true, but it surprises me about the Wi-Fi being available everywhere.
I just like the idea of this. Now on your Facebook profile, how do you identify by what subset of a clan you're from in Serbia that where. Your family killed some other family, and then they were killed by some other family. I mean, how do they do that? Because you're saying that these people don't have jobs, and where does that go?
What
do you put it? Yeah, right.
But the last names are probably determined by some clan killing one clan.
Yes. You have to have a fake last name there so that somebody else doesn't come over to, like, cut your head off.
Yeah, right now, actually, my grandma just called me today. They're in a water drought, so they turn off the water after 2 p.m., and they don't turn it back on until 9 a.m. the next morning. So
water only available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, that's crazy because that's not dinner time included in that.
Nope.
And it's not when a lot of people are home from work either, I would think.
Well, if you have a
work.
Job.
Yes. You have to understand how remote her village is here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw some of the pictures from her village.
Yes.
There's a well, but it's so filled with the political enemies of the mayor of the village that it's hard to get the water out of it.
Well, people who have a well in their little house area and their villa areas, then they have access to water whenever. But it's kind of hard to get the water out. You prefer to come out of your faucet.
I'm still down here.
Help.
I cannot. You like water, I can hand up to you.
Shut the well. It's disturbing us.
Why is the well talking?
Were people really tech savvy, though, did you find in that remote part of Serbia?
Yeah, I mean, my grandma has an iPad. She calls us on FaceTime. I think that you don't realize how intuitive the internet and these devices are. You know, my 83-year-old grandma was able to learn how to use an iPad.
Yeah, I know. You know, my mother has proven that they're not that intuitive.
No?
Yeah.
She's asking to come over to help her figure it out all the time.
Last week at a family function, my daughter had to show her how to. When she can make a phone call with her iPhone, but she cannot answer a call with her iPhone.
I found that to be difficult as well.
Because the whole idea of the swiping, when the button is there, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea of swiping to answer.
You know the way I describe it to my grandma? Follow the lights. Because when you need to swipe, the lights will go from left to right. So I'm like, just follow the lights. And she's like, the lights. I'm following the lights.
I am following lights.
I am still down in well.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Do I swipe left or swipe right?
Also, if they don't know how to answer the phone, you can pretend that you called a bunch of times and that they never answered.
This is a really interesting situation. My mother has a landline, though. This is what ruins that whole thing.
She gets around it.
So she knows.
I called. No, you didn't.
And she apparently has caller ID, but then she, because she knows if I don't leave a message, she knows that I called because she sees it on the caller ID. But when I do call and she picks up, like, hello? I'm like, hello, who's this? I go, it's right there. And who else calls you?
Yeah.
You it's never
every
call.
Time. Yeah, every time.
I always get the, you never call. I'm calling you right now.
I know. And then we only talked for like 2 minutes. I'm like, I don't know. My phone says an hour and a half, lady.
Oh, God.
But speaking of the Wi-Fi, have you ever seen the situation where they tier it? You know, they do the tiers so that
right,
you get
have to
like
pay more
basic
for faster.
Wi-Fi. But if you want anything that's like anywhere not slow, you have to pay for the next tier up kind of thing.
Universal Wi-Fi.
I just feel like it sort of nickels and dimes you if you're actually nickeling and diming you if you've already paid so much for the room.
We are getting to, by the way, universal Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. That is eventually coming our way. I mean, that's the plan here.
Let's stop with this whole healthcare thing and go with what's important.
Oh, you know what? Now that she said it, you know what? She's totally right. So forget about healthcare. We're going to universal Wi-Fi
right.
Because it'll help me with my tweeter. Look at me. I'm tweeting.
Yeah, but do you want everyone else tweeting President Donald Trump?
No, I don't. Not my enemies. But nope. That's okay. We'll take care of that. I have a plan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's really going to be something. All right, Violetta, we're going to send you off to your event right now, which is, don't tell me. It is at the, here we go. I got it right here. The 7th annual Pig Out for Charity, Cops versus Firefighters, Burger Eating Contest. And this young man we had in, Jason Brandstetter, this strapping young Chicago police officer. He looked like he could kick a little ass in this.
Oh, yeah. And how about his winning record? In several years, he's won about 5 or 6 times this eating contest.
Yeah.
It's time to take him down, fireman.
Oh, start with that. You know what you need to do? Start trash talking.
Yeah.
See, now,
perfect.
Violetta, I can't decide who Violetta needs more, police or firefighters.
I like them both equally.
Well, you should. I mean, that's a good way to start.
And they both look great in uniforms.
But I'm just wondering if it came down to who is she more likely when she calls 911 to ask for?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a cop or a firefighter? My guess is cop.
Cop.
Yeah.
I'd say cop. I would.
We're all there for a good cause. If they can eat the whoever.
Because the firefighter, she's probably going to do, if she like hurts herself, she's learned enough from the old country to be able to take care of it. She knows how to like pull an arrow out of her shoulder.
Out of your wound.
Are you going to be judging the eating contests or have any role in that? Or is that more that you're just emceeing the event?
I'm emceeing the event, but I will be on stage with them. And I have been told to encourage one team, you know, at a time.
Yeah. Okay. You mean to push them?
Yeah,
are you
going to
trash
them.
Talk?
Yeah, kind of trash talk.
Oh, God.
Perfect. That'll be fun.
They told me to avoid jokes, so I'm going to avoid jokes. Apparently, I'm not very funny.
They told you to avoid jokes?
Well, I feel like they could get a little crazy, you know? Because I got jokes about firemen and police officers, but I don't know if...
Oh, I'm sure you do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be a good time. And they know what they're doing. They've done this a couple years.
Seventh annual.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. The proceeds go to the 100 Club. Helps provide for the families of first responders who've lost their lives in the line of duty. It's at 25 Degrees, 736 North Clark Street. That is, it's happening starting now and going until 10 o'clock tonight. Tickets $30 at the door. Attendees must be 21 or older, which I don't know how Violetta gets in, but she's going to try.
I have a fake ID. Don't worry.
Oh.
See,
just kidding.
That's where she needs the cop right there. Yeah. And then it's 100clubchicago.org/event/pigout. Yeah.
Nice.
Violetta just turned 25, as it turns out, at least according to her ID. Although, you know, it's the most important thing on this show is her birthday. And I think it's interesting because she's got 4 different driver's licenses with different birthdays. So she always claims it's her birthday.
It's
right. I can
out.
Celebrate all yeah. year round.
I know. I don't know how that works. All right. You go off and you do that. Report back tomorrow on this. But first, do your WGN traffic trouble spots.